Thank you very much, Neil. And if you do have a Bible, please have it open at Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 to 23. Why is this world such a difficult place to live in? I'm sure that at times all of us have got very tired with the way that life is, especially at the moment. Lots of people are really struggling and finding life difficult. And you can see why people are finding life difficult. Whichever direction that you look in, it just seems that things are not right. And in fact, things seem to be broken. Just look at the news at the moment. Obviously, there's this dreadful pandemic going around the globe, and it's snatching lives away and creating incredible disruption to so many people. People are going through real difficulties, and there is genuine financial hardship for people as well. But that's not the only thing that's going on. When you just go beneath the headlines, you see that the world just seems to be falling into chaos. There's climate change, which they say is driving wildfires in the arid regions of the world. And there's melting ice caps, which are causing flooding in low-lying areas of the world. The hurricane season is getting earlier and earlier. And in other parts of the world, there's terrible droughts and swarms of locusts. Then, to make matters worse, humans just can't get along with each other. There's all sorts of wars going on, which result in terrible atrocities being committed. And then, of course, you've got that terrible situation where people are running away from war. So if they stay where the war is going on, their lives are at risk and there's a real danger of famine. So they end up going to refugee camps, or they try and find a safe country. And when they do find a safe country, how often are these illegal migrants welcomed? You know, these are people who are running away from war and terrible situations. It really is awful at the moment, and it seems that the world has gone mad. And that's not just in far-flung places. When we think about our own society and our own culture as well, think about our family and our friends. How many people do we know whose lives are blighted by incredibly complicated breakdown in relationships, or family members or friends or colleagues or neighbours who are facing dreadful diseases? The list goes on and on about the difficulties of this life. And deep down, we know that this is not right. This is not the way that it should be. And we might ask ourselves a question. Why do these things happen? Why do these things happen which we know are so unfair and wrong? Well, as people, we're quite good at explaining when something goes wrong, what has gone wrong. But when it comes to why these things happen, we really struggle. Just look at the world of science and medicine. Our wonderful doctors, our healthcare workers, our medical scientists, they might be able to describe what has gone wrong to cause a disease, but they can't necessarily describe why it's this way. And those who hold to an evolutionary view of the development of life cannot answer why we find their big idea, survival of the fittest, so uncomfortable when we see it being worked out in the lives of those around us, when we see it being worked out in our own lives. Nor do we find a simple, pragmatic acceptance of the status quo satisfactory. The person who just shrugs their shoulder and says, "It is how it is," and then seeks to get on. They don't have an answer to why, they just try and work their way through the problem. However, in contrast to these approaches and the many other approaches that are like them, God's word, the Bible, provides an explanation for why the world feels wrong, broken and unfair. And then it provides the only solution to the problem. And this explanation and solution can be tracked through the whole of Bible. It's the central story of Scripture. When you look at the Bible, you see how God has created, then you learn straight away what went wrong, and then the rest of the Bible, from Genesis 3 forward, is all about how God is sorting out the problem. And then at the very end, we look to the future to see how it's going to be. So there's this big story in the Bible which explains the world around us. But here and there in the Bible, we have little memorable statements, little clusters of verses that capture that big picture. And one of those places is what we're looking at this morning in Colossians 1, 21 to 23. And as we look at verse 21, straight away we see the problem of this world being stated. And this is the reason that the world seems broken and unfair. We read, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior." And this verse draws out three things which explain the problem. And we're going to start off with the heart of the problem. The fact that people are described as enemies of God. Now, most of us don't like to think of ourselves that way, especially if we're Christians. But the reality is, before we trusted in Jesus and put our faith in him, we were by nature enemies of God. That's how people are born, and that's what the Bible clearly teaches. It teaches how that first human couple, Adam and Eve, were placed in charge of creation, in the position of authority over creation as being made in the image of God. But then the enemy came along, filled their head with a load of lies, and they decided that they wanted it all. They wanted more than what God had given them, and they disobeyed God. And this attempt to become like God meant that they ended up losing everything. Their relationship with God was severely damaged. Then as punishment, God altered their relationship with each other and with the creation. And this is why the world is a hard place to live in. This is why people cannot get along and why everything feels so wrong and broken. It feels wrong because we were made for something better than this. Something which we have never experienced. Something which people are searching for but they cannot find under their own strength. And then to make matters worse, we see that this original rebellion was written into our spiritual DNA and it goes down the generations. So not only are we held partially responsible for Adam and Eve's failings, we are also born with a tendency to run away from God, to ignore him and to do our own thing. We were born as enemies of God, and we prove this through our evil behavior, through the things that we do. Now, we can thank the Lord that most people are nowhere near as bad as they could be. That is a wonderful blessing, that God holds back evil, that people are not as bad as they could be. But at the same time, we all know that we're not what we should be. All of us can remember moments of weakness, mistakes that we've made, things that we are ashamed of, times that we have not even lived up to the standards of society, never mind God's much higher standards that we find in the Bible. Our evil behaviour, our evil attitude, our evil thoughts just prove the point. In our minds, we were slaves to sin. We just could not help ourselves. And in fact, we actually enjoyed doing our own thing, rather than living the way that God wanted us to live. And therefore, that takes us on to the third point. We were alienated from God. To be alienated means that you're separated and there's a conflict or a disagreement which is keeping you apart. You're at war with one another and there's no easy answer to getting back to being reconciled. And this is terrible, terrible news when we remember just who God is. God is the source of life. He is the source of love. He is the source of everything that is good, honourable and praiseworthy. We have turned our backs on him. Our world has been cursed and the society that we have created for ourselves and the way we expect to people to behave in that society are far from what God intended. So the world feels broken and unfair and there's nothing that we can do about it. Each and every one of us was once a part of that system. And if you have not trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, that's where you still are. You are still a part of that system. And the fact that you're sitting in church this morning means that you may be asking the question, how can you change? How can you get out of it? How can you find freedom? How can you find forgiveness? Well, the answer is found in the next Bible verse in verse 22. But now he, that's God, has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. Fortunately for us, God does not treat us as our crimes deserve straight away. He is loving and patient. His desire is for all people to be saved. So God, who knew that this rebellion was going to happen before it occurred, had already devised a rescue plan. And that rescue plan involves sending someone to reconcile not only us to each other, but eventually the whole of creation back to God. And that's what the wider context of this passage is about. In verses 15 to 20, you have a poem, a wonderfully theologically rich passage that links together the original creation, salvation, and the new creation. And the Lord Jesus Christ is at the heart of that. God is going to bring peace to all of his creation through the Lord Jesus. And that peace starts with the reconciliation of rebellious people with him. And it will be concluded when Christ returns and this world is returned to its former glory. However, this reconciliation, this bringing of peace, was incredibly difficult and incredibly expensive. Remember, we were alienated from God and there was no easy solutions. And that creates an enormous problem, because God is holy and just. He doesn't change. He will never bend the rules for anyone. He is perfectly fair, just, and righteous. So when we rebelled against God and became his enemies, even though in a sense we were slaves to our wrongdoing, we were still responsible for our actions. So we all acquired a long rap sheet of things that we had done wrong, which each one of them incurring a punishment. And God could not remain a holy God and just ignore this sin. It was a blight, a problem that had to be sorted out. Justice had to be really done. So God couldn't just forgive people and turn away from it. What about the victims of the crimes that were going on? Justice had to be done. Crime had to be really punished. And then God could offer forgiveness, freedom, and friendship with the people that he had made. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ was doing on that cross. He was carrying the punishment that we deserved so that we could be forgiven and set free from our old self-destructive ways. And then, once the problem of our rebellion against God is sorted out, we could be reconciled with him and we could become friends with God again. And today, we live in an age of grace, when people are able to move from being enemies of God to being friends with God because of what Jesus has done to bring us back together, to reconcile us. This is why Christians remember the cross of Christ so regularly, why they share the breaking of bread together, the communion, the Lord's Supper. It's all the same thing. It's following the Lord's commands to remember what he has done until the day that he returns. Something that's very important for us as Christians. We look back to that great act of love which Christ has done so that people who were helpless enemies of God could be rescued and brought into the right relationship with God. And we marvel at his wonderful grace because we had done nothing to deserve it. But God is a God of mercy, of love, of grace. He made a way when it was impossible for us. And this is the only way to find true peace. God showed us quite clearly that Jesus' sacrifice cleared the way. When Jesus rose from the dead on that first Easter morning, and we now live in this time when we have this great opportunity, people know that the world is broken. People long for peace. And they may look here, they may look there, they may look everywhere. The only way to find peace is to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and be reconciled back to God. And that is what people who are true Christians have done. They have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they look forward to the day that he will return. You see, after his death and resurrection, Jesus returned back to heaven and he gave a promise and a command. The promise was that he would come back. And the command was for the disciples and the followers of Jesus to spread the word that there is only one way to get right with God. Jesus, who is God's son, has been given all authority. One day he's coming back to finish the job, to reconcile all of creation back to God. When he returns, he will sort out this broken, unfair world with all of its horrors and all of its unfairness. On that day, if you are not with Jesus and made clean by him, then you are a part of the problem and you will be dealt with as a person who is an enemy of God. Today, that final day has not yet arrived, which means there is an opportunity to be set free, forgiven, and become friends with God available today. All the person who is in that situation of being alienated from God has to do is admit that they have done things wrong, trust that Jesus can sort out the problem, that his death was enough to clear the cost, the charges against them, and have that desire to change their ways, what's known as repentance, so that they, from that point onwards, they live in a way that God wants them to live. Every person who is a true believer has been brought in some way to that crossroads and trusted in Jesus. Different ways for different people, but everyone who is a believer trusts in Christ. And they are people who have found peace with God. Well, this morning, if you're someone who is still looking for that peace and you feel you want to take that step for the first time, or you feel that you want to recommit yourself back to God, then I urge you to do it today. One of the sad truths that we often encounter is that when people put off this commitment, they eventually become immune to the message. We've been hearing a lot about immunity, haven't we, with this COVID-19. And when you're immune to something, it doesn't have any effect upon you at all. And if people keep on ignoring the gospel message, they become immune to it. What Scripture says calls having a hardened heart. Don't be that person. Take advantage of this offer of freedom and forgiveness today.